Hey, I just met you, but I got a feeling we could have some blurred lines when everybody's in the house tonight. But then I kissed a girl and it got hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to write the song of the summer. It's got to have sex and joy and heat and sex and a catchy hook. How do you like this for a hook? Promiscuous boy, I'm all alone. Let's use protection from STDs.
It's a little clinical, right? Also, and I say this as a friend, you're writing a terrible song.
No, that's not even the point. We're in this era of post-music music. The music is no longer the point, it's the positioning. And if I get it right, think of all the good I can do with the money. I can build an orphanage in Santa Furtado.
Santa Furtado? There's no such place as that.
Okay, go ahead, Greg. Just pick my dreams apart.
Kion, I'm not...
Wait. I think I heard something in there. Promiscuous boy, pick my dreams apart. Go ahead. You know you want to.
No, this will not work.
In the video, I'm naked and a dog bites my leg while I'm trying to move a turtle. For no reason. Today on the show, our music mavens wrinkle their noses and grit their teeth and try to talk about this year's song of the summer. And now, his Iggy Azalea has crown rot and leaf spots, Colin McEnroe.
I may have overwatered it. I may have overwatered my Iggy Azalea. Please don't do that, by the way. Just a public health tip. Do not overwater your Iggy Azalea. All right, you're going to be tempted, maybe more than once, to turn off the radio today as we talk about the 2014 Song of the Summer with Wally Lamb, Eric Danton, and Joan Holliday. Believe me, you can't possibly feel grouchier about it than they do. But bear with us. If our mission is to understand our cultural moment, then we must understand Iggy Azalea. Although on Facebook, the quote of the day on Facebook is from someone named Laurentia Burson Cypress, who writes, "Acceptance of social anomalies like Iggy Azalea, Deep Fried Twinkies, and Duck Dynasty leads to grace." So that could be true. So the notion here is that there's a song of the summer, that there's one song that's the song of the summer. Critic Amanda Dobbins writes, "This is usually when somebody raises his hand and is like, oh, I've really been enjoying the new Spoon single. That's my song of the summer." Which, no. Let's be clear about how this works. There is no such thing as a personal song of the summer. We do not anoint multiple songs of the summer. There can only be one. The song of the summer, by its very definition, is a consensus choice. It is the song that wrecks wedding dance floors. It is the song that you and your mother begrudgingly agree on, even though your mom has no idea what rhymes with hug me, but won't stop yelling it in public. It does not necessarily have to hit number one on the charts, but it should be on the charts because it must be widely played. It must bring people together. It must be a shared enthusiasm. There are other approaches to this whole idea. I'll share them with you in just a second, but I want to introduce the panel. Wally Lamb is the author of many books, including We Are Water and Wishin' and Hopin', which is just beginning film production. He is also considered the king of Eastern Connecticut chill wave. Eric Danton Eric Danton is a writer and music reviewer for Rolling Stone and The Wall Street Journal. He's the man who coined the phrase manic pixie Norwegian death bubblegum. And Joan
Still
Holliday.
My favorite genre.
Absolutely. Joan Holliday is a radio host on The River 93.9, where she plays classic Turkish pop and math rock. So they couldn't be bigger music experts if I cast a wider net. 860-275-7266 is your number to call in as we go along here. If you just want to yell, stop, stop, don't play those songs anymore. Or if you have your own idea about what the song of the summer is. So, once again, 860-275-7266. Do not turn off your radio, no matter how much we upset you. So, you know, I'm going to start with you, Wally, because I think of all of us, you got the grouchiest about all this music.
So, definitely.
And do you think – I mean, but we all get a little bit grouchy about it, and nobody's really too crazy about most of the songs that we're going to be talking about today. And I'm trying to figure out whether we're just getting – older and are incapable of sharing the enthusiasms of 19-year-old college students, or whether it's just the music's getting really crummy.
Well, I vote for the music is getting really crummy and also very narcissistic. So it is the quote that you read a few minutes ago said something about Iggy Azalea being an anomaly. I don't think she is. I think she sort of is in the same category as, you know, selfies and I'm Wonderful, where we're all suddenly our own publicists.
We are our own publicists. And there's a quotable line out of today, and we're only 2 minutes in here.
Good job, Wally.
Actually, before I go to Joan and Eric about this, rather than having Iggy Azalea remain an abstraction for you, those of you who have kept your minds pure and your ears clean, let's play a little bit. Okay, now let me set the stage here. At the moment, or at least in the week or two preceding this very moment, which may, by the way, be a turning point in the summer, it looked as though the dispositive runaway choice for Song of the Summer was, in fact, a song called Fancy by someone named Iggy Azalea. All right, you are now fully prepared to listen to a little bit of Fancy by Iggy Azalea.
First things first, I'm the realest.
Realest.
Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right, right. Right.
You should want a bad b- like this.
Huh?
Drop it low and pick it up just like this.
Yeah.
Cup of Ace, cup of Goose, cup of Chris. I heal something worth a half a ticket on my wrist.
On my wrist.
Taking all the liquor straight. Never chase that.
Never.
Stop like we bring an 88 back.
What?
Bring the hooks in where the bass at. Champagne spilling, you should taste that.
Now I should probably get Wally to say that thing again. Iggy Azalea is not an anomaly because what was that again? Because I was you kind of just sum it up kind of perfectly, whatever that was.
Well, it's she's part of the culture of selfies, and you know, aren't I great? And let's all publicize ourselves. I just also want to say, Colin, that while I was listening to that little snatch, even I felt like going Van Gogh and cutting both of my ears.
Yeah,
the double Van Gogh.
Yeah.
It's a rare move.
So, Joan Holliday, is there anything that you might want to say that would help you, help the listener understand what it is that they're hearing? There?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I can help the listener understand. It's terrible. I mean, when you're talking about Kyone saying post-music music, well, this is definitely it. Before I heard the song, I heard Iggy Azalea, and I thought, well, Iggy is hopeful, right? I like Iggy Pop. I heard the song, and I'm like, this song has no soul, no hope. It's nothing but superficiality and hype, and it's not even catchy. I just think it's a terrible song.
All right, so we need to set the stage a little bit more, and so we'll go to Eric Danton for this. But by the way, as I say, if you have your own thoughts about this, 860-275-7266. Based on every metric and every critical assessment at the moment, Fancy was sort of the reigning song of the summer. There may be a change in the wind right at this moment. But first of all, I mean, maybe not everybody even quite understands who Iggy Azalea is. They may think that she's an African-American hip-hop artist, which she, despite her Southern Atlanta crunk sound, is not.
As opposed to an Australian white girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what she is.
Yeah.
I like that she says that she wants to bring 88 back because I'm not sure she was born in 1988. Also,
where the song of the summer was Roll With It by Steve Winwood, too, which is – so I don't really quite get that. But
I'm also concerned about her hearing because she asks where the bass is at, and it seems pretty prominent to me. So.
Yeah, I could hear that.
I mean, the thing is, this song, it's kind of a ringer. Mm. Isn't it? Because, you know, there's a story in the Washington Post, I think last week or the week before, about this song. This song was chosen by Clear Channel radio programmers.
The devil.
And after it was chosen, every Clear Channel top 40 station was required to play it 150 times. So why is it at the top of the charts? It's not necessarily because people are buying it. The Billboard charts are based on sales and airplay. So I'm not positive that this is the viral choice. I think it may be the Clear Channel choice.
Our intern, Allison Rhododendron, very similar to Iggy Azalea, is saying that it also flies in the face of what another Australian artist, Lorde, was singing about in Royals, which is sort of like, you know, antithetical to all that sort of bling and Cristal and stuff like that. Well, I mean,
there's been some beef between Iggy and Lorde.
Has there really been?
I think there has been. Yeah. Well, Lorde is New Zealand, from New Zealand.
Yeah.
She's
a Kiwi. Don't make a mess.
I just made a big mistake right there. So I'll offer a mild defense. I will be sort of the court-appointed lawyer for Iggy Azalea and Fancy. And I'll just sort of say this, that I can sort of get what's happening here. First of all, it does have a fairly sort of stripped down style, which is kind of interesting. I mean, it's all built around that bass line that is apparently not being played on an actual bass, but
It's definitely a synthesizer.
Yeah,
no,
so a synthesized kind of bass thing. It's got that kind of sound to it. And I do think that one thing increasingly that a song of the summer has to have is some kind of visual pairing, you know? So, I mean, with Blurred Lines, they deliberately made – Blurred Lines was the song of the summer last summer, for those of you who just check out on all this stuff. So Blurred Lines was the song of the summer last summer. They deliberately made a video that they knew would get banned because they thought that was a good strategy. Make a video that's so salacious, so NSFW, that it will get banned. And that became a little bit, I think, of the signature of the song. In this case, Iggy Azalea and her yellow plaid skirt suit, you know, wagging her finger from a lectern is – you're shaking your head like you're not happy about it. But that's sort of part of the signature of the song, right? You listen to the song, and because people – I mean, it has a visual image that goes with it.
Well, all these songs, really, the visual image that goes with them, all the songs that we're talking about, is in the video – and all these videos are filled with generous décolletage, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Actually, generous décolletage is also a New Zealand artist.
That'll be next summer's.
So. Next summer's.
And my next book title.
Yeah. Well, your book titles always have to be song titles.
Yeah. Well, we better make the song.
So Fancy could be your next. But, you know, I mean, a little bit of the notion of the song of the summer, I was thinking about this, is in the future Wally Lamb novel, that is set in the summer of 2014. The song of the summer is what comes pouring out of the radio when one of your emotionally oppressed characters turns on the radio and here's a song he probably doesn't like very much. But that's the song, right? It's the song that says, that locates you, that locates a character, a novelist, a human being in a particular time.
Culture and is time and place. Yeah,
right.
Sure. Yeah.
The characters that would be remembering this song, though, when you know, this music, I don't think Colin is aimed at 19-year-olds. I was recently on a family vacation, and the ones who knew this song and sang it relentlessly were my 10-year-old nephew Sebastian and my 9-year-old niece Faith. They were the ones who were obsessed with Fancy and with another song on our list, Wiggle. You know, I think this music is aimed at the pre-tween set because then you get it stuck in their heads and they walk around singing it and they become pop music consumers or pop culture consumers.
Ah. Well, we'll get to Wiggle in a, or should we get to Wiggle right now? I mean,
what are we waiting for?
Wiggle, to me, Wiggle by Jason Derulo makes Fancy sound like, you know, the Ode to Joy or something. I mean, it's, you know, and I think Wiggle by Jason Derulo, I have like a lot of other parallel and unrelated reasons to hate Jason Derulo, but I think this stands as, I mean, I think you'd agree, Eric, that people, that artists now consciously, you know, try to get to be the song of the summer. I mean, not everybody, but you can listen to a few of these songs and think, yeah, Usher, who's had a song of the summer, maybe two even in the past, thought, oh, I'm going to try to do it again. And they try to come up with what they think is the formula.
I think that's right. And I think we make a mistake when we buy into that premise. The Pulitzer doesn't award a prize in every category every year. There isn't necessarily one song of the summer every year either, in my estimation. And this might be a summer when there's not.
I was going to say, especially this summer.
All right, so here's a crass attempt to make the song of the summer. It's by an artist named Jason Derulo, who's on the television in the gym where I work out way too much, but that's a whole separate issue. Here's Wiggle.
I got one question. How'd you fit all that in them jeans? That big fat butt. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Just a little bit of
All right, we just lost every listener over 58, I'd say.
But even that song is a ripoff of that LMFAO song from a few years ago. The Wiggle, Wiggle,
Party
Wiggle.
Rock, Party Rock, yeah. Oh, Party Rock Anthem?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. which was the song of the summer that year. Although
sure.
when we did that was 2011, and I think we got it wrong. We didn't realize. And it's an example. We did this show around that the same time of year in 2011, and I forget what we thought it was, but we didn't really see Party Rock Anthem coming, partly because it's actually a fairly terrible song.
But it's
which
at least
you.
It's fun, though.
It is fun. And then Springsteen did that great parody of it with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. All right, so we have our tweet master, Greg Hill, says his 2-year-old daughter loves Fancy. If you need to talk to us, 860-275-7266. If you need to complain to the program director, that's your problem. 860-275-7266. And you may also tweet us at WNPRColin. So there actually is a song that's coming up on the outside rail. And even on the charts, it seems to have maybe overtaken Fancy. It is called Rude. It is by Magic. These are rude boys from the shanty towns of Toronto. So anyway, well, here's Rude by Magic, or possibly the obverse of that.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my best suit. Got in my car, raced like a jet, all the way to you. Knocked on your door with heart in my hand, to ask you a question, 'cause I know that you're an old-fashioned man. Yeah. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, 'cause I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die, so for love, my friend.
I think you get it. They are Canadian. They are four Canadian guys. They are currently number one on the charts. They are the first band of Canadian musicians to top the Billboard Hot 100 since anybody. Joni, you'll be able to come up with this one.
I don't know. Bachman Turner Overdrive.
No.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Something much more nefarious and horrible than either one of the things you just said.
Oh, think Bieber?
Think of something even worse than that. I think he's a Canadian single artist, so he doesn't really come. First Canadian band, last Canadian band was Nickelback, actually, a decade ago. See, I told you it was something more nefarious. So, but while you kind of like Rude a little, at least compared to how you felt about everything else.
Yeah, of all of the candidates that we listened to and considered, I like this the best. I'm just a sucker for a reggae riff. Will I listen to it happily? Yes. Will I download it? And buy it? No.
All right. That was getting close to a rap all by itself. It could be a rap about like what you'll buy and what you want. We do have some interesting songs, some calls coming here, but let's sort of talk about this a little bit more. So this is, Wally said that the Iggy Azalea song Fancy is sort of basically one big, huge musical selfie, which I would sort of agree. Look at me, look at me. This is actually sort of a song with a story, right?
The whole idea. Sure, the thwarted teen love.
Yeah.
At first, when he started singing, and he's saying, I came to ask you a question, but I know you're an old-fashioned man. I thought it was about a gay romance. I thought, oh, this is kind of sweet. And then, oh, he's asking her dad.
It's tough enough being Canadian reggae artist. Being gay Canadian reggae artist would be asking
maybe
too much.
Really.
It's more baggage than any one band can handle.
In the video, the father slams the door on the singer.
Why he got to be so rude?
Yeah, and I could definitely relate to that.
As the singer or the father?
As the dater.
As the listener. Oh, so you've had father slam the door in your face?
Yeah.
All right.
They were so wrong.
Sons, so. I didn't have to slam any doors.
So somebody's tweeting, shouldn't this show be called The Worst of the Summer's Music? All this stuff is bland and boring. Well, there is sort of an interesting parallel thing, Eric, going on between Iggy Azalea and Magic, the creators of Rude, which is there are debates about appropriation, right? I mean, Iggy Azalea is Australian. She's appropriating sort of Atlanta-style, T.I.-influenced, crunk hip-hop sounds. And here's a bunch of white guys from Canada. There's a famous Andy Samberg video called Ross Trent, which sort of makes fun of the whole idea of being a white reggae guy. I don't know. I mean, the appropriation debate isn't anything new. Oh, is there anything new about this?
There's nothing new about this song, no. I mean, they might as well have had a cameo from Snow on it, the Toronto rapper who did Informer, the reggae guy who did Informer 20-odd years ago. The appropriation thing, I think, loses some steam.
1993.
Was it 93? Okay. I was close, 20 years.
Yeah.
The appropriation thing, I think, loses some steam in the digital era where regional scenes can blow up and be found by anyone, anywhere. So a white girl from Australia doing Atlanta-style crunk rap, it's not that far-fetched. It's easy to find that stuff online. Toronto reggae band sounding like, some kind of dub act from Kingston. Again, not that far-fetched. I'm not sure they're doing it all that convincingly.
Mm.
But, it's up to them if they want to do it, and they're obviously having success.
But think of all of the artists that got ripped off in the 50s and early 60s, the, artists of color who mm-hmm. were, sort of co-opted by – and then
by the
and then
Stones.
the white performers had the big hits and made the money on it.
But I do think the internationalization of even the basest forms of pop music, which is what we're talking about here, is sort of an interesting trend. And it really – we'll see it as we go along here that we're going to be talking about black Norwegian artists. And, if you think back, I think, to last year, Gautier, who's Belgian-Australian, was probably the number three song of the summer possibility. And we've got a white South African group. I mean, the internationalization – of pop music. It's not – you don't have to be a world music nerd to be into world music anymore. You just turn on your radio and it comes flowing out, right?
Yeah. I mean, top 40 music I think is different than world music, even if it's being made by someone from South Africa or, a Dutch guy who lives in Australia, which is what Gautier is.
Let's grab a call here from, I think, Navid in New Haven. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Colin. Yeah, this is Navid.
So what have you got for us?
Well, I was going to offer a little defense of Iggy Azalea, or however you say her name. I'm not sure. I have to confess I'm not too up to date with the current music. But I was in the city this weekend, staying with some friends, and my friend has a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and they were singing the hook to this song, trashing the hotel room, and drinking out the mini bar. And I guess it just struck me with the conversation that we're having about whether, the team here or, we as listeners are too old or if the music is changing. I mean, I think we're just too old for it. The song sound is actually, it's correct. I mean, I know that we're saying it's not catchy, but it seems like infectiously catchy.
Oh, fancy? I would agree.
Yeah,
in fact,
fancy.
Just to be annoying, I was walking around the hall singing the hook yesterday, and Beth Messina, our sort of graphics internet czarina, came out and said, "Don't do that. That song is a brain worm. It's going to get stuck in my head now." I think it is catchy. Maybe, there's two kinds of catchy, right? There's the catchy song that you got in your head and are happy about. And then there's the kind of song that you
just heard. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe it is catchy, and I just don't like it.
You just don't want to get caught.
I just don't want to hear it.
I'd argue not necessarily that we're getting old. I didn't like Blurred Lines, but the runner-up choice last summer was Get Lucky by Daft Punk, and I thought that was a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked both of those songs, actually.
Me too.
We are definitely getting old, however.
Can't deny that.
And so Blurred Lines is an interesting – let's just take a moment before we go to break here to talk about Blurred Lines. Because one reason that was catchy for us was it was very consciously modeled on a Marvin Gaye song.
Yep. So,
as the courts are ruling on.
Yeah. Although my recollection was that they preemptively sued. Right? Didn't Robin Thicke he preemptively sued the Marvin Gaye estate? But I didn't even know you could do that. You can't sue me. I'm suing you first for
you can't break
to sue
up with me. I'll break up with you.
Right. He sued them for wanting to sue him or something. So anyway, I mean, that's one of the problems, or not one of the problems. What's one of the solutions, really, is to create a song that's appealing to a lot of different people. It's appealing to 13-year-old boys because there are naked women in the video. It's appealing to people of our generation because there are naked women in the video, and because we recognize something. We recognize a groove that we know and we like.
And it's fun to dance to.
Yeah.
And it's rebellious.
But it's also creepy, ultimately.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to the musician Brian Slattery last night, and he was sort of saying, he'd like to think that at a certain point, Pharrell Williams, who was sort of, the guy behind both Get Lucky
both songs.
And that he looked at the lyrics and went, wait a minute, these are the lyrics. lyrics. Nobody told me these were the lyrics.
I have to say, we could do a whole show about Blurred Lines because as a very feminist woman, mm-hmm. I disagree.
You disagree that it's creepy?
That it's creepy. I don't think it's rapey.
Yeah. You don't think it's creepy or rapey?
Right.
But that's the knock against it.
The video
is. It's creepy. But the knock against it is that it's creepy and rapey.
Yeah,
right?
But I don't agree with that. Yeah. Yes, I am.
So do you see it as more liberating? Like even good girls?
No. Well, I see it as she has the right to choose, but she's interested in this guy, and maybe she is seeing somebody else. But he says, you know, I know you're not that person, and she might be thinking it over. It's nothing saying that I know you're not that person and I'm going to make you have sex with me. He's not saying that.
Yeah, but can you really separate the song from the video? I mean,
I can, yes.
Yeah.
The video that was so intrinsic to the song, up to and including the woman who played the sort of the biggest role in the video, she broke out. You know, I think Esquire named her the sexiest woman of the year. She went from being a fairly obscure model to being this kind of huge sensation.
Oh, I thought you meant zits.
Well, that may have happened to you. I don't know. I'm not their dermatology.
They have Photoshop for that.
You know, their dermatology is protected
all
by HIPAA.
All that oil that Robin Thicke was oozing.
Yeah, he's pretty oily.
All right, we have to take a break. Well, with the oily pores of Robin Thicke lodged in your brain. Talk about a brain worm. We're going to come back. Tom and John and Marie, people calling in here. We'll have more when we come back.
Got in my car, it's like a jet. All the way to you. Knocked on your door with heart in my head to ask you a question. 'Cause I know that you're an old-fashioned man.
All right, we're back. This is our Song of the Summer show with Eric Danton, Joan Holliday, and Wally Lamb. Did you know that Gautier's real name is Wally? That's what people who know Gautier, they call him Wally.
My real name is Gautier.
I thought you were going to be Lamb Shank or something. You were like, coming up with a whole new identity for yourself. All right. Let's go to the phones here. Marie in East Hartford. Hi, Marie. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
We're fine.
Uh-huh. What I wanted to say is I'm definitely over 50. Mm. I work with teenagers both in school and at home. And these songs, you're playing all of my favorite songs. I mean, I listen to jazz. I listen to a lot of international and classical music. But these are fun songs, and I would say people should go and look at the videos, especially Fancy and Marry That Girl. They're hilarious, okay?
All right. Thanks so much. Although the funniest video is Turned Down for What? I mean, it's I don't know if I'm not – she's smirking over there that I would even say that, right?
It's funny.
Come on, you're defending Blurred Lines.
Turned Down for What is the worst song.
It's a terrible,
ever.
Terrible song. I absolutely, completely agree that the song is an absolute failure, even on its own terms.
Yep.
It is a failure. But the video is so funny that it's, you know. But I would not even attempt to describe the video because I would lose my broadcasting license.
I saw that video the first time at the gym, and I almost dropped barbells on my face.
It really is funny. All right, 860-275-7266. A lot of people calling in. We should play another song. And so this is actually, as I said, Wally was sort of okay with Rude by Magic. But you were, I think, even more than – I think a lot of us felt okay with Am I Wrong by Nico and Vins. So this is a song that's probably not going to make it as the song of the summer. Even if something bumps Fancy, it's probably not going to be this, but it's actually the song has come surprisingly close. So let's hear a little bit of it.
Am I wrong for thinking of the box from where I stay? Am I wrong for saying that I choose another way? I ain't trying to do what everybody else doing just because everybody. They all do. If one thing I know, I fall, but I grow. I'm walking down this road of mine, this road that I go home. So am I wrong for thinking that we could be something for real?
So as I said before, they are black. They are Norwegian. It's sort of like an Ann Coulter nightmare, basically. They're black. They're Norwegian. They play soccer. Yeah, they sound like Sting and a little bit like Gautier and sound like Wally. But you kind of like this, right?
I do, because – and I'm not even sure how to define it, but this song, this sound to me has an authenticity to it that doesn't seem manufactured for, say, Clear Channel.
Mm-hmm. And I'm best guessing you and I have very similar musical tastes.
He's pointing at me, yep.
Yeah. And I'm guessing this song's pretty okay with you, too.
Yeah. I like this one, actually. I really like his voice, and I like the fact that it has a little bit of, like, more – God, this sounds so awful – I almost said moral substance, but that is kind of what I mean.
Who defended Blurred Lines is now calling for moral substance.
Well, like, it means something.
Yeah.
And it is not produced for Cheap Channel, which also makes me happy.
Right. And, you know, I mean, these guys must be sort of sitting there thinking, wait a minute, Iggy Azalea is killing us? But a lot of it, there's a lot of things that ultimately sort of make or break a song of the summer that are tough to pin down unless you're Eric Dinn.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if Fancy is the song of the summer, then none of these other songs are going to dethrone it, regardless of their chart position or anything else. So it's not like there is a song of the summer until it's dethroned by some Norwegian duo who sounds a little bit like Sting duetting with Gautier. No, it's there is a song of the summer or there isn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that we're sort of debating what it might be suggests that maybe there isn't one this summer.
Well, either that. Although, I mean, the other question is, I mean, does it all have to do with, or I guess let me ask it a different way. How much of it has to do with the fact that, you know, out of our sight, 16-year-old and 14-year-old and 19-year-old music enjoyers and 7 and 9-year-old kids who are wrecking hotel rooms, drinking out of the minibar, or whatever it is they're doing, you know, are making those kinds of choices? And how much of it is the insidious influence of commerce, and not just Clear Channel, but, you know, all the people who get together and try to make a lot of money off this phenomenon? I mean, you know, if in fact something really establishes itself as one or one of two or three really defining songs of the summer, you know, I mean, how do we think that happens?
Well, it is a combination of commerce and teenagers or kids or people who are older than that all sort of converging on something. What is interesting to me lately is that the kid piece of that, the teenager and younger piece of that, it doesn't happen on the radio anymore. It's all coming from YouTube. It's coming from streaming music services like that. They are not necessarily pop radio listeners. They find this stuff on YouTube, and that's where they go for new music.
Let's grab a call here from, let's grab Chris on his cell phone. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Chris.
I think we are too old to get Fancy. In fact, I have reason to believe that the chorus of Fancy was written by the same 7-year-old who wrote na 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 na.
Hey, that's copyrighted. You be careful. You can't sing more than two more bars of that song, and we're in court.
I'm sorry.
We haven't paid his ASCAP fee. All right. Thanks very much for that observation. 860-275-7266. If you want to comment, we're talking about the song of the summer. That kind of notion that. So, I mean, you know, I guess we all are declinists. You know, we all do. It was funny because I put this up on Facebook. I said, you know, what's the song of the summer? And I didn't word it carefully enough. I didn't say what's the song of the summer of 2014, because immediately people started talking to me about Sly and the Family Stone and stuff like that.
It's the song of a summer.
Yeah, song of a summer. But and you know, even sort of looking back, I mean, I even sort of grabbed the list going way back. So 1981, it was. These are all sort of commonly agreed on. 1981, Endless Love. 1982, God Help Us, Eye of the Tiger. 1983, Every Breath You Take by the Police. 1984, When Doves Cry. 1985, The Power of Love by Huey Lewis in the News. 86, Papa Don't Preach by Madonna. 87, I Want to Dance with Somebody. 88, as I said, Roll with It by Steve Winwood.
Yeah, but you know, Colin, yeah. I have the Billboard number one book, and I went back further to Summer in the City. I mean, gee, there was even a jackhammer in that song. Light My Fire, Miss You, The Stones, Electric Avenue, Eddie Grant. I mean, these are great songs. I don't hear anything like this now.
Well, all the songs were more ubiquitous, too. They were a lot easier to find, and maybe it's because we were all younger and paying more attention in a certain way then. But you almost, if you are not tuned into that sphere of popular culture, you almost have to go looking for Fancy or looking for Wiggle.
Yeah, I had successfully avoided them for ages until Colin made me listen.
Hence, the grouchiness. 860-275-7266. Matthew tweets, Fancy may not be a great song, but at least it isn't as innocuous as Happy. Also, it has Charlie XCX on the hook. We should say that is Charlie XCX, who is supporting, as they now say, the song.
I didn't know that was if that was supposed to be pronounced like the Roman numeral. Or
I don't know either. I thought it was. I thought you said you say it. I keep looking at you because you're, you know.
Yeah,
Charlie XCX, who I like her a lot more than I like Iggy Azalea as a general rule.
We should play. There's one other song that is somewhere in the mix there. I've saw a couple of people have suggested that it actually is the song of the summer. It's called Problem. It also features Iggy Azalea, although it is not her song. She supports, as they say, this song. It's by Ariana Grande. This is the song Problem. I would just parenthetically observe that sort of buzzy sax sound that you hear that's sort of like King Curtis married with a vuvuzela or something is, in fact, it's a trope right now. I mean, I hear it. There's actually an annoying Jason Derulo song that also has that sound in it.
That doesn't really narrow it down all that much.
No, annoying Jason Derulo song is not a category shaper at all. So, but, you know, I don't know, Joan. I mean, is that like really a lot worse?
Don't think that's that bad. I mean... If I DJ weddings, and I would happily play that for people to dance to, you know, it's fine.
Will you unhappily play some of these other songs at weddings?
If they want it, it's not my wedding.
Right. If they want fancy, they get fancy, right?
That's right.
I don't know. I mean, to me, that's, you know, I mean, supposedly the song of 1995, although I dispute this because I think it was Kiss from a Rose by Seal, was Waterfalls by TLC. I don't think I don't think Problem's any worse than Waterfalls by TLC. I don't think we've fallen that far. Look at him. Look at the face he's making.
I mean, first, I would argue that Waterfalls was definitely the song of the summer 1995. But second, I guess this is worse than Waterfalls, but it's certainly not markedly better either. I mean, all she says through the whole song basically is, I've got one less problem without you. It's are there other lyrics? Because I didn't hear any.
I have a question. Did she come from TV?
You know,
Ariana Grande?
I think
think she did. But you know who could tell us? Sophie. Sophie's from Farmington. So, Sophie, do you know where Ariana Grande came from? Where would we know her from before that song? Whatever you're doing, you're making a high whistling sound, and it's not the whistling sound that's in Wiggle. It's a different whistling sound. And all right, so get away from the radio or turn the radio off or whatever you're doing. Right, but hi, so Sophie, you're on the air.
Hi.
So what did you have to say? What point did you want to make?
Because I'm only 12 years old, mm-hmm. that people like me, like that are kids, all around the country, kids like me, they love these types of songs, and that just because the people on the show are older than us and have different likes and dislikes, I don't think you should put these songs down because a lot of kids like me, they don't like the songs that are from your time.
Absolutely, you speak an eternal truth, Sophie. So what is your favorite song of the summer? Which one? I mean, is it Fancy? Is that your song this summer?
I like Rude by Magic.
Oh, well, we liked Rude by Magic.
Yeah.
Even us grumpy old people liked Rude by Magic. So anyway, thanks very much for calling up. You don't know the answer to the question, by the way, where we would know Ariana Grande from before she recorded Problem, do you?
No, I have no idea.
Could you Google it or something? Isn't that what you kids do? You Google things? All right, we have to take a little break here. We'll come back after this.
Am I wrong for thinking of the box from where I stay? Am I wrong for they all do. If one thing I know, I'll fall but I'll grow. I'm walking down this road of mine, this road that I go home, so am I.
Shall I part my hair behind? Do I dare eat a peach? I shall wear white flannel trousers and walk upon the beach. I have heard the mermaid singing, each to each. Is that too obviously ripped off from Marvin Gaye? Do you think his estate will sue? Today's show was produced by Betsy Kaplan and me. Our interns are Allison Rhododendron and Brittany XCX. Greg Hill appeared in our intro and tweets for us at WNPR Colin. The part of Bill Curry was played by Sir Mix-a-Lot. For show pages, articles, and NSFW videos of the Faith Middleton Show staff dancing to Turn Down for What, visit our website, WNPR.org. On tomorrow's show, the disappearing middle initial. And now, back to Colin.
That's right. We're sort of working off an essay in the New York Times saying that the middle initial, even in an age that craves, as we say, disambiguation, is nonetheless an imperiled thing.
I use one.
You use one?
Mm-hmm.
You're Eric
R. Danton.
Eric R. Danton.
Except
you
when
are Eric R. Danton.
People forget to put it in bylines or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't, as an author, you don't use a middle initial.
Only on my Gmail account, Wally J. Lamb.
Wally J. Lamb. Mm. Wally J. Lamb sounds like, you know, sort of a 50s rock artist, you know, yeah. Wally J. Lamb.
Right, he's going to be in the Elvis thing, you know, in Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah.
Wally J.
Right.
Lamb.
And you're in a complicated situation because Joan Holiday isn't really your name, and you do sort of have a middle
name. I beg your pardon, sir. It is totally my name. It's my other name.
It's your other name.
Yeah, I still use my middle initial, though, L.
All right. So that'll be our show tomorrow. So here's what we've done here. We've sort of run through all of the – yeah, you just gave out your Gmail address on the air. That was, like, not a good idea.
Yeah, but I never used that one. I used my other one.
So what was I saying? We've really gone through most of the songs that had a chance of being the song of the summer, and in so doing have driven away most of our listeners. And now we're actually going to play some songs that our listeners might have liked had they not turned off the radio 20 minutes ago or sooner. We're going to start because initially when we brought this up, well, everybody had some ideas. This is a song called Call Me by St. Paul and the Broken Bones. We'll play a little of that and say something. All right. So, as Iggy Azalea would say, can't you taste the gold? she does say that, actually, in Fancy. So who wants to say something about this song? I mean, these are not songs that have any chance in a million years of being the song of the summer. They're just songs that our panelists wish were more the kinds of things that become the song of the summer.
Sounds like they're bringing 68 back.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, which is what I love. You know, this is my personal song of the summer.
It is your personal song of the summer?
Yeah, yeah. So take that, Sophie.
Well, don't make Sophie cry. We just sort of made up with Sophie a little bit.
She's probably busy Googling stuff for you anyway.
Yeah, she's Googling stuff. She's now an intern doing research for us. So when something is the song of your summer, how does that play out? Is this like blasting out of the Wally Mobile?
This is a song that I downloaded, I bought, and then I went out and bought the CD as well because I really like the vocal. It does have a very retro feel to me. Sounds a little bit like the Rascals, which was one of my favorite groups.
Mm. It's like a collaboration between the Rascals and Al Green.
That's not a bad analogy.
They just got together in 2012, St. Paul and the Broken Bones. They're from Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah. They're pretty tight for a band that's only been together 2 years.
So we're just going to run through a few quick ones just so you kind of get a sense of what else was out there besides Iggy Azalea. I feel better and better about Iggy Azalea every time I say her name. So I said Joan Holiday and I have very similar musical taste. This is a song by Spoon, which I like anyway. I mean, I like Spoon. And it's called Do You. Thank you. This has even caused Eric Danton to tap his finger.
I'm a Big Spoon fan. I'm glad they are back with a new album and one that is as good as this one is.
Yeah, this is. I haven't heard the rest of the album. I really like this song a lot. I'm a big fan of the song Underdog, which I think is one of the great Spoon songs. The best song, Spoon song that I happen to know anyway. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that you would like this because you and I like the same things.
I do. There's another song off this album, Rent I Owe. Isn't that it? Rent I Pay?
Rent I Pay.
Yeah, and I really like that too. The funny thing about Spoon for me is that they're from Austin. And when I hear that sound, I don't think Austin,
no,
Texas.
No, they sound British. Vaguely.
They do.
They sound sort of, you know, West End.
Or even Lower East Side.
Yeah.
The singer might live in Portland now. Maybe that that leavens the...
Maybe so. Little Portlandia thrown into the mix.
The Britain of the West Coast. all right. So we're speeding through these and we're running out of time. So let's go to one of Wally's favorites, Tune Yards, which is Meryl Garbus, has kind of a Connecticut connection there. Let's hear that.
No water in the water fountain.
Did you hear they shouted out Gotye at one point? They went, Gotye! Gotye! which was a nice thing for them to do.
Well, it's funny, we were talking before about the world music influence in pop, and you can certainly hear it here in the polyrhythmic drums that she's mm-hmm. that she has in the
yep.
song.
Mm-hmm.
There's also what sounds almost like a shout-out to Busta Rhymes' song, Woo-Ha. Mm. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on here.
I like the experimental sort of almost... anarchy to the song, and also the video. I mean, she's very funny, and so I like the fact that she sort of goes out on the limb. She's also very good with standards too, because I've heard her do some more traditional songs.
I will commit a small bit of Tune Yards apostasy and say my only complaint with this is it sounds like a lot of other Tune Yards songs that I've heard. I'd like to hear her tackle some standards, because to me this is like a little bit more of what it's great. It's, you know.
Her sound is so distinctive that she has trouble sort of getting outside of it, I think.
Yeah. All right. Very quickly here. We have very little time left. But I think this is one of yours, Eric, God's Height by Christopher Denny.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Do we have maybe we do like 30 seconds of God's Height by Christopher Denny before we badly run out of time. All right. Let's do it.
I was sitting here thinking about how I can't reach you at all. How I get the feeling so small. You're God's height. You're God's height. I'm walking on stilts, mama. I can't reach it.
All right. None of the songs we just played will be the song of the summer. None of them will be featured on the soundtrack of Wishin' and Hopin'. although if Wally had his way, maybe they would be.
Tall but, Paul by Annette will be on there.
Yeah, well, it's a movie's a period piece. We can't be having 2014 songs on there. Thanks to everybody who participated in today's show. Kion Wolf did a lot of work ripping all this music up. Joan Holliday, Eric Danton, Wally Lamb, thanks for being with us. Thanks to our interns. Betsy Kaplan's been manning the board. We'll be back tomorrow with our middle initials strutting their summer stuff.
With that big fat butt. Oh, yeah. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
I'm Kion Wolf. I'm wiggling. I'm going to the emergency room.